You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Hope Gibbs with Incandescent Public Relations, your host for the Incandescent Radio Show on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. We're here today with Michael Houlihan, co-founder of one of my favorite wines, Barefoot, a company that he and his partner, Bonnie Harvey, started in their laundry room in 1986. They turned it into a nationwide bestseller and successfully sold the brand to E&J Gallo in 2005. Starting with virtually no money and no wine industry experience, they employed innovative ideas to overcome obstacles and create new markets. They were pioneers in what they termed worthy cause marketing and performance-based compensation. They also held a comprehensive view of customer service, resulting in the National Hot Brand Award for outstanding sales growth in 2003 and 2004. Welcome to the Incandescent Radio Show, Michael. We are very excited to have you here.
Thank you very much, Hope. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, great. What made you and Harvey and your... Well, let's see. Let's ask this question first. Are you guys married?
Well, we've been sweethearts for 30 years.
That's great. So you're... Unofficially married.
We're what California calls, domestic partners.
Okay, great. She can poke her head in there if she wants and say hi. Tell us what made you guys want to get into the wine business.
Well, we didn't really want to get into the wine business. What we wanted to do was help a friend of ours out who was a grape grower who wasn't getting paid for his grapes. And so... We went and negotiated a trade deal from a bankrupt winery that owed him money for his grapes. And they couldn't pay him money, but they could pay him in wine and bottling services. So all of a sudden we had all this bulk wine and all these bottling services. And so we created Barefoot to liquidate the debt.
So why Barefoot? Why did you pick that name?
Well, we like the word Barefoot because... it was as far away from nose in the air as humanly possible, and most of the wines in those days were pretty darn snooty, and they were actually very exclusive, and you had to have a degree in enology and viticulture just to appreciate them and have fun. So we wanted to have an image that was a fun image and an image that people could relate to, and Barefoot seemed like a perfect image because it's how wine was crushed originally. And when you see a barefoot on the sand, it's a sign of recreation. You don't know if it's a man or a woman. You don't know if it's Republican or Democrat. All you know is it's the impression that a human being makes on the planet. So very inclusive.
That's beautiful. It always made me happy to see it. I was telling you before we got started that in 91 I lived in California, and that's all my friends and I drank. And then when I moved to D.C., it reminded me of California. And it just when I saw it in the store for the first time, it made me cry because I felt like I hadn't let go of that cool, fabulous experience I had out west.
Well, thank you. Our original concept was to put California in a bottle.
Oh, beautiful. You've accomplished that. So tell us about that, how you sold to Gallo. We just interviewed Seth Goldman, who founded Honest Tea, and he sold to Coca-Cola. So how did you get them interested? Was that always your plan to sell it and have an exit strategy, or did it come about some other way?
Well, you know, when people go into business, they're doing it for one of three reasons. They're either trying to create a job for themselves, which they're going to have their whole life, or they are trying to create a legacy, which they're going to give to their kid, or they are trying to create equity in their brand value, and they want to monetize that brand value. We were in choice three. We were trying to build a brand. It's one thing to have a concept, and a cute label, and a great product, but it's quite another to attract a big boy who's going to actually acquire you and monetize your brand value. And so you have to actually get out there and market and merchandise your brand throughout the country, and in our case, in many places in the world, before you could ever attract a buyer. And the way you attract a buyer is you do something that they don't have, and you achieve the critical mass that they have to see in your portion of the market. When Barefoot sold, it was doing 600,000 cases a year, and it was only in 18% of the market, but it was in all 50 states, it was in 100 supermarkets, and it was in 28 foreign countries.
That's amazing. How did you guys do that?
How did we do it?
Yeah.
every day from 7 a.m. until midnight, 7 days a week. Lots of travel. I've been to most of the cities in the United States. I've been to most of the places they sell wine. It's very hands-on. It's very hand-selling. People get into business, they think that their idea is going to carry itself because it's so wonderful or the price is right or the quality is so great or everybody says how wonderful it is. They're kidding themselves. You actually have to get out there and sell it yourself. And so no one is going to do it but you. And when you go out there, that's when your distributor will help you. They want help themselves. They've got hundreds of brands to sell. Why should they sell yours? So we did it the hard way. That's why our book is called The Barefoot Spirit, A Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built to Bestseller. That's the hustle part.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about your book, and we're definitely going to get to that and the tips that you offer to entrepreneurs, which I find very useful and exciting. But let's go back a little bit. Tell us about Worthy Cause Marketing and performance-based compensation. You won awards for that. What was that, or what is that?
Okay, so when we started Barefoot, we went out to the stores because we're selling wine that's $6.99 in today's money, and we wanted it to be in all the supermarkets because we knew that if we didn't spread it across the country, that we weren't going to make enough money to survive. We had to sell tons of product. And so we went to the markets, and the market said, we're not going to put it in because nobody ever heard of Barefoot. You have to build the brand. It has to be a household word. Everybody has to know Barefoot. So we recommend that you spend a couple million dollars on advertising and then come back and talk to us. Well, we didn't have that kind of money, but we were conservationists. We were humanitarians as people, even before we got into business. And we did have all this wine. So what we did is we offered the wine to the nonprofit groups that were fostering those causes that we held dear. So we gave wine to nonprofit organizations for their fundraisers and also for their silent auctions. And we sent our people into their organization to help them with their fundraisers and to help them actually set up tables and take down chairs and all this kind of stuff. And as a result, we got their membership to have a social reason to buy our product. That turned out to be more effective than advertising in terms of customer acquisition and retention, because people want to buy a product from a company that stands for something that's more than the product they're producing. And they could tell that Barefoot stood for clean beaches, it stood for education, it stood for conservation. And because of that, we got the members of those organizations to buy our product. So that's how we discovered Worthy Cause Marketing. So what was the other one you asked about? Performance-based compensation. When you are new and you're in business, you're overpaying people if you pay them by the hour. You're getting paid on performance, and everybody that works for you should also be paid somehow on performance. Every company thinks they have lots of different divisions, but they only have two divisions. One division is called sales, and the other division is called sales support. And if you don't believe that, how does the receptionist get paid? How does the accountant get paid? How does the lawyer get paid? They get paid through sales. So on the top of the pyramid is the customer. Under that is the salespeople, and under that is sales support. So if you are an accountant, then your job is to produce reports that the salespeople need so that when they're talking to Mr. Big at the big chain store, they'll have all the information they need to make that sale tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock because they just got the 8 o'clock meeting and it was a surprise. And the reason you're going to do that is because your bonus is based on the salesperson's bonus. So performance-based compensation is a system where the people who are non-performers can't afford to work for you, and the people who are performers, they can't afford to quit.
Very cool. That's excellent. Yeah, and I think the sales piece is what a lot of entrepreneurs get confused about. We just did a book review of The Republic of Tea, and in that book, the Ziegler's were saying, well, where's the money? And Bill Rosenzweig, who they started the company with, he was all about sort of in the clouds with his ideas. And, you know, for almost a year, he was all over the place. But they kept trying to ground him. And I think that that's a mystery to a lot of entrepreneurs. Where's the money? A great idea is a great idea, but it's not a business until you're making cash.
That's right. And you have to be humble about it. You have to remember that you may think that you know what your client wants, but you really need to go talk to your client. And I'm not talking about a focus session, and I'm not talking about copying what you perceive as your competition. In our case, we made friends in low places. We talked to people who were forklift operators. We talked to people who were warehouse buyers. We talked to people who were in the distribution system about what was needed, what it should look like, and how it should be packaged, what the label should look like, all of these things. And they gave us information that we would have never gotten from the college grads, that's for sure. So ask a lot of questions and be humble. Be ready to make changes.
That's great. How many employees did you have when you were growing the company?
When we were at the point of 600,000 cases a year, we had less than 40 employees.
And then when you sold it?
That's how many we had.
Oh, that's how many you said. Okay, right. Yeah. Which makes perfect sense that your profit margins were high and your expenses were lower.
Well, the other thing, too, is a lot of people get into business and they think, oh, I'm going to get into business, you know, like the wine business. I need a vineyard. I need a winery. I need barrels. I need all these things. You don't need any of that. What you need is purchase orders. What you need is to understand what your customer wants and give your customer what your customer wants. So, for instance, at Barefoot, we found out that our customer was primarily female. She was buying wine as groceries. She wanted it to taste the same from year to year, and she wanted it to be priced right. So in order to do that, we put together a product that was non-vintage, which is the opposite of the wine business. So our wines taste the same from year to year because we would blend different years to make it taste the same. The other thing that we did was we made sure it was at the right price. We also made sure that she could depend on this product. We got a female winemaker. We asked her to work to put together a product that would be acceptable to this market. So it wasn't what we wanted to give them. It's what they were willing to buy from us and the price that they were willing to pay.
Excellent. That makes perfect sense. I love that logic and how you're so tapped into the market. What's the one lesson you had to learn the hard way?
Oh, boy. The hardest lesson that we learned was that it doesn't matter how cute your label is. It doesn't matter that you have the greatest slogan in the world. It doesn't matter if your wines are gold medal winners. It doesn't matter if your price is the best price on the shelf. If it ain't there, they can't buy it. So you really have to sell your product with a mind about distribution, which means that you have to go out and make all the sales yourself, and then you have to go out and get all the resale orders yourself. So in the case of the United States, and you start in your laundry room, it's pretty impossible to go to places like Poughkeepsie, Illinois, and make sure that we're still on the shelf there to make sure that it still got reordered there unless we had our own person in Illinois. So what we learned the hard way was that we needed to have people in the field. We needed to have people in every state who were monitoring sales, monitoring the distributors, monitoring the grocery stores and the wine shops and in the control states and making sure that our product really was for sale. And everybody thinks that people have an interest in selling your product and that they're going to take care of it. They don't. There's too many products out there. So the products that win are the products that have been policed, they've been handled, they have been watched, and they have been loved, and they have been presented on a regular basis. And that was our number one lesson. We never dreamed that we would have to spend so much time in distribution. We thought it was going to be winemaking and marketing and cute slogans. Boy, were we wrong.
I love that. And I think Honesty Seth Goldman said the same thing, you know, that they had this beautiful business plan. He founded the company with his professor from Yale Business School. And the one thing that they didn't address was distribution. And they said, you know, who can blame them? They've never been in the beverage business before, but at the same time, it's pretty laughable. So I think that's a great tip for people that want to distribute product, especially across the country. What's the one experience that happened at Barefoot that said, yes, I love being an entrepreneur?
I think that that was when we won the award for hot brands. The first year we won the Hot Brand Award. In order to be a hot brand, and it's an award that's given out by the publishers of Wine Spectator magazine, and it's given out only to products, wine products, that have sold over 3 years. The first year they sold 10% more than the year before that. The second year they sold 10% more than the year before that. And the third year they sold 20% more than the year before that. So that's a tall order. And we won that 2 years in a row. And we did it without advertising. And I thought to myself, you know, all this work and everything we've done has really paid off. And the way that we approach this, not using advertising, but relying on nonprofits to spread the word, really paid off. And it paid off in a way that the industry is recognizing with their conventional measuring system, which is this award.
That is so cool. I love that. Hey, tell us a little bit. I want to talk about the book, but tell us a little bit about your background. So you had no wine experience. How old were you when you started Barefoot?
I was 30-something, no, I had no wine experience other than having had some on Saturday night, all that experience. But my background was in business consulting, and I helped businesses. I used to work for the government, and when I worked for the government, what I did was I went into businesses and helped define their processes, so that they could be moved out of the way of wrecking balls and redevelopment projects. So some business is sitting there, it's in a redevelopment zone, it's going to get leveled, you're going to move the business. The businesses have never written anything down, so they're going to have a hard time in the new location. So I would go in there and write down everything. Today they call that franchising. So I had that skill, that ability to analyze business and write down policies and procedures and checklists and sign-off sheets and job descriptions and all that kind of stuff. So I was able to apply that to my clients, and I always wanted to live in the wine country. And I said, someday I'm going to move to the wine country, and one day I did. I moved to the wine country in 1983, and of course, all my customers were wine business people. So I wound up working for them, helping them out with their policies, procedures, dividing property, you name it, everything. But I didn't really understand about wine marketing and distribution. I was more on the vineyard end of things. So this was a real wake-up call for me. But I'm glad that I had that background, because I was able to apply it in a positive and constructive way. In the development of Barefoot Cellars, we had one of the best documented, one of the best businesses around. I mean, imagine producing 600,000 cases a year and having half of your staff in the field, and you have less than 40 people altogether. So that was very efficient.
Very, that's amazing. So now you're now that you've sold the company, what have you been doing?
I've been helping other businesses be successful, build their businesses up to the point where they can sell their business, increasing their brand equity, helping them with distribution management, personnel management, developing a positive company cultures, and helping them with sales, and helping them with cash flow management, because those are the things that people need who are starting out their businesses. And I love businesses that are getting started, and I love to help them and watch them blossom. So I work as a consultant now, but I also work as a speaker. And we also have two blogs that we write that are on the internet every week. and it's 600 words each blog. And it's all stuff that's extremely valuable. It's tools you can use. So people should go check out our blogs.
What's the URL?
They can read one of them at barefootwinefounders.com. Just think of Barefoot Wine, and we're the founders, barefootwinefounders.com. And the other one, they can read at thebrandauthority.net. And that one is all about building your brand.
Awesome. We, in July, we interviewed Michael Gerber, who wrote The E-Myth, and he got started in a very similar way and does the same kinds of things. We talked about his book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, and I don't think an entrepreneur can get enough advice or information, but that hands-on guidance from someone who's been there, done that, is really mission critical. So I'm sure that everyone you work with benefits from it. But now the masses can read The Barefoot Spirit and get even a deeper dive into what you guys have done. It chronicles the history and lessons learned from building the popular Barefoot Wine brand. So tell us more about the book, why you decided to write it, and some of the contents.
Okay, well, people have been bugging us for many years to write a book because we have all these sarcastic slogans that kind of summarize things that happen to you in business. And they say, you know, you guys got to write a book. That's just too funny. So we finally broke down and wrote a book, and we didn't like it, and we threw it away. it was too prescriptive, and we've read hundreds of business books. I shouldn't say that. We've read the first couple of chapters of hundreds of business books like everybody else, but you never finish them because they're usually too prescriptive. And what I mean by that is, here's the three things you got to do to succeed. Here's the 10 things you should never do. Here's 12 things to look out for. Here's the 27 things your customers want. By chapter two, you're falling asleep and you put the book down. We didn't want to write a prescriptive text. We wanted people to stay interested in the book and read it through. And our market really is 20 and 30-somethings, a lot of what they call boomerang kids that are now living with their parents because they graduated from college. They don't know what to do. Self-employment is really the only opportunity for half of these people. So we wanted to give them, as entrepreneurial cheerleaders, a real case study. And we wanted to give it to them in a way that would be fun to read. So we put it together as a business success story. And it's really an adventure. So you take a seat of your pants ride alongside Michael and Bonnie and watch them get up in the morning and they get hit in the head with a brick of reality. And then how do they handle that? And then they face bankruptcy, but they don't go over the edge. They steer left and avoid the fiscal cliff. How do they do that? And it goes on, and you're hanging on the edge of your seat for this whole ride because you know that this is going to be a blockbuster success brand, and you know it's going to be America's personal house wine. But you don't know how it got there, and you don't realize that the people who did it are just like you and face the same kind of problems you did. And the only thing that got them through was their business principles, and you glean those business principles by reading the book and being entertained by all the action that takes place. And it's like we used to say, what's the moral of the story? You get the moral of every chapter and every segment in this thing, because you start to say, oh gee, I wonder if that would work in my business, or that's a good idea, I think I can use that over here, without us giving you a list of what to do. So it's kind of a fun story, and we recommend this to all your listeners. They're going to benefit. I don't care if they're producing a product. I don't care if they're producing a service. Whatever they're doing, if they're doctors, if they're whatever, they're going to learn a lot from this book because it's put together by people who really did it in the real world in 20 years, and they had the good sense to write it all down.
That's excellent. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I know it comes out in January, which will dovetail with you being our Entrepreneur of the Month for Being Candescent Magazine, and we're very thrilled to toast the new year with Barefoot Wine and our interviews. And in the book, you talk about the fact that most entrepreneurs kick off their ventures on a budget so lean it's beyond shoestring, it's dental floss. In fact, a lack of funding does take down many great ideas, especially in this economy when it's time to cut your losses. Do you think that people should keep going or throw in the towel?
Oh, no. I think that that's the whole idea of the barefoot spirit, is that you have to have a belief that your idea is going to succeed. You have to imagine the customer enjoying your product, and you have to do it every day. And when you follow the principles that you'll see that we wind up following, and many of these principles we learn the hard way, it does become easier as you go along, but you have to get started. You can't see other people who are traveling down the same road that you are unless you're traveling down the road. So there's a real reason for us to work with our suppliers, with our customers, with our employees, with everybody that we touch, to find out how we can help them.
Excellent. And you offered 11 tips that might be lifesavers for a lot of companies. Let's talk about the top three, if you don't mind, starting with your best advice, which is start up in a garage.
Oh, boy. Well, when you start a business, you really don't have an opportunity to spend a lot of money on a big office, especially if you don't have any financing. So you have to be resourceful. So you look around and you see what you have. Maybe you have a garage, maybe you have a laundry room. That's what we had. And that's what you have to do. You have to really think, when you have a problem, when you're facing a challenge, take inventory. Ask yourself what you have. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And we started off in our laundry room. We didn't have a desk. We took a door off its hinges and put it on a couple of sawhorses. And for the first year, my desk was a door, and I was looking at a hot and water, cold water supply and a drain for where the washing machine was supposed to go.
Excellent, excellent. I think you aren't alone in that. Many people start up as best they can. Tip number two is get help from your family.
That's right. You'd be surprised. One time I was trying to sell wine in Los Angeles, and it was tough. It was Christmas week, and I wasn't able to sell any. And I came home, and it was raining, and it was late. And Bonnie's mother had come to live with us to help us with the business. And she did all kinds of work for us. She folded T-shirts. She put point-of-sale materials together that got shipped out to the distributors. She did all kinds of stuff. And she saw me coming into the office that day. And she says, "Why are you so hangdog, Michael?" And I said, "Well, I just got back from L.A., and nobody will buy wine." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Well, because it's Christmas, and everybody's thinking about champagne." She says, "Well, why don't you have a champagne?" And I said, "Come on, I can hardly sell the wine. I need a champagne like a duck needs a shotgun right now." She says, "Well, you should have a champagne." I said, "Well, if I had one, what would I call it anyway?" She said, "Well, I'd call it Barefoot Bubbly." And so that's what Barefoot Champagne is called to this day. And I think it's the number one champagne now being sold in America, Barefoot Bubbly. But what if I hadn't used my family? I would have never come up with that idea. And all kinds of resources are available. Bonnie's nephew came and worked for us and did all kinds of things. So when your family throws in with you, they put in 110%, because everybody wants their family to succeed.
Well, cheers to your mom. Barefoot Bubbly is actually one of my favorite beverages, I must say. So that's awesome. And then your third tip is assume someone else's inventory, which is exactly what got you guys started in this business.
Yes, exactly. Some people are looking to get into business, or they don't have a job and they're looking for an opportunity. You find opportunities in the strangest places. We found opportunity because a friend was owed money by a winery that was declaring bankruptcy. We wound up trading the debt for services, took over the debt. So we basically took over the debt. So instead of the bankrupt winery paying our friend, which would have been 3 cents on the dollar, he got paid 100 cents on the dollar, albeit 4 years later. And he got paid because we took over the debt. But by taking over the debt, we turned it into an asset. So there's an advantage to finding people who aren't getting paid for their goods and helping them get paid. And the way that they might get paid is through some kind of a barter exchange, which is how Barefoot got started.
Excellent. That is an excellent tip and advice. And the 8 other tips that you offer are equally insightful and informative. And we'll be featuring them and you, as I said, in the January issue of Be Incandescent magazine. And those will be in our Tips for Entrepreneurs column. So we're very excited about all that, especially because our readers will really benefit from your sage advice. So last question for you today. Any thoughts of starting a new business aside from the consulting firm?
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're starting new businesses every day by helping people out. And we help people out. We usually work for a retainer, and maybe we take some equity in their business. So we're really rooting for them to be successful. We have an interest in our clients' business. We pretty careful vetting process. The other thing that we're doing, too, is we're going out now on a regular basis, and we're being speakers. We're writing, and we're helping people out across the country get the Barefoot spirit. So our new business is writing, speaking, and consulting.
Sounds great.
And we're quite happy doing that.
Would we know any of the businesses that have hired you on?
Well, I don't like to divulge confidentialities that I have with these people. But no, I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I can tell you that you will hear of their successes.
Well, that's good enough. Maybe you can check back with us when we are hearing of their successes. So thank you again for being with us today, Michael Houlihan, the founder of Barefoot Wine, with his partner, Bonnie Harvey. And to read more about Barefoot Wine, you should pick up The Barefoot Spirit, which is available in January, and you can learn more at www.thebarefootspirit.com. And it's always fun to celebrate your successes, past, present, and future, with a bottle of Barefoot Wine. So we toast to your success today, Michael, and we thank you for sharing your insights with us on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network.
Thank you very much, Hope.
So that's it today for the Incandescent Radio Show on EPN, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Radio Show, send me an email at hope@hopegibbs.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. This is Hope Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, your host for the Incandescent Radio Show.
This is the ePodcast Network.